And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, March 23rd, 2019. It's Season 13, Episode 11. And I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And that is it. No Matt this week. I feel a sneeze coming on again. Excuse me for just a moment. There it is. Get it out of there. Excuse me. Sorry.
Yeah, two big ones earlier.
Earlier, I know. So, not sure what the deal is here. Quick little... Get that out of the way.
I just blame it on the pollen.
I guess. It only really started just a minute ago. I've been here for a while. Yeah. So, welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook there as well. You can email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. And also, we're streaming right now on Twitch. Go to Twitch.tv, type in InGameChat. You'll find us there. And you can watch us while we broadcast. You can join us in the chat room while we do it as well. I don't know if there's anybody in the chat room right now. Oh, it is dead. Good Lord, there's nobody in there. Lethal Migraine is the only one in there. And I'm not actually sure that he's actually in there. So, yeah. Oh, goodness. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. Matt is not with us this week. He will be back next week. And then he's out for another 2 weeks, I believe. So, that seems to be the case. But we'll be here every week. As many weeks as we can make it. So... Plenty of stuff going on this week. Lots of stuff that happened this week. But let's talk about... Yeah, Lethal Migraine's there. He won't be for long because then I'm going to start talking about Destiny. I'm actually not. I'm just going to tell you that that is... It's barely what I played, only the fact that I barely played anything this week. The free time I finally had was really on Friday. And that's when I got my gaming in, was last night. And I marathoned... all the stuff that I got to do, you know, week to week in Destiny. Still didn't finish all of it. Got up this morning and did a few things as well. Finally wrapped it up. I was telling RJ downstairs that, you know, normally I would get through it all with the week in advance. Resets on Tuesday. I would get my stuff done a little bit on Tuesday, a little bit on Wednesday, a little bit on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Put in a lot of stuff on Friday, whatever, but... by Friday to Saturday, I would be done with my main. Just kind of, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. That was not the case this week. And normally when that is the case, I jump on my alt on Sunday or even Saturday today and just start poking around and doing what I need to do there. That was not the case this week. And so since I've already marathoned as much as I have and, like, put in so much to it, I'm not really feeling doing anything with my alt right now. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like getting back into that. I don't feel like going through that cycle again that I just started on Friday.
Yeah, it's like I mentioned downstairs that when it starts feeling like a chore,
yeah,
take a break.
It doesn't feel like a chore in a sense, but it would just be a little bit brain frying, I think, to just start again where I am so, you know, I just started on Friday. You mean I'm going to have to start again on Sunday with a brand new character?
Yeah.
And I think I'm just going to kind of leave it alone. I used to do that, and I did that last, when Forsaken released. I said, you know what, I'm just going to focus on my main, get him up, and then I'll start with my alt. Although that took me a while to do, because your alt kind of helps you hopscotch, frog leap each other. And, you can get leveled up faster. The main that I have I got my first max drop, my first 700 gear piece drop, which is the cap for this season.
And you can equip it, no problem?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
It was actually an exotic that dropped that had no... it's one of the newer exotics, and the benefit of it was not anything that I was just like, that's not, you know, I don't like that.
Is it a weapon or a piece of armor?
It was a piece of armor.
Oh.
And the perk was when you dodge near enemies, something they get disoriented, and you also mark them or something. I can't remember what it was.
Your main's a hunter, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
It sounds like something from the Void perk or something that I found.
Yeah.
Like,
I didn't like it, though. Yeah. I didn't see any kind of benefit. There's a gauntlets that I wear that when I fire off my fire blades, mm-hmm. The amount of damage that they do, like if it's a big group of enemies and I fire off my fire blades, the amount of damage done builds back up your super for the next time. Mm-hmm. That's a good benefit, you know? Yeah. You find a good group of enemies, you can fire that off, and you're more than halfway back to building up your super. That's great. There's the one for your arc staff, where the more damage you cause with it, the more it builds up the super part of it. Not for next time, but like the link. So, you know, when you fire off your super, it slowly depletes. Right. But every time you make an attack or at an enemy or something, the little bar jumps back up a little bit further and a little bit further. That's a nice little benefit.
Yeah.
I just could not see a benefit to these legs. Hmm. It seemed, it just seemed pointless. So I infused them.
Okay.
And put them on my Orpheus rigs.
Okay.
Which have been coming in handy a lot lately. So.
What's the cost? What was the total cost on that? It was like the
they were the infusion?
The infusion, yeah. Boost themselves, and then what else?
It's horrible right now. It is legendary shards, which I've got tons of.
Yeah.
Glimmer, which I also have tons of. Some sort of planet resource.
Yeah.
You know?
See, that was the thing I was getting at, because the things we didn't even think about at all before that update came was that those shards and mm-hmm. little... what was it called? What's the stuff on Titan? The Alcrane dust or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah, you just pick it up and don't even think about it. Now it's necessary in terms mm-hmm, of yeah. building up your stuff.
Luckily, I'm sitting on just a ton of it. I have a ton. Mm. Which is not a problem. And then the big one that it counts is the enhancement cores. Mm. Those are not dropping very often. Those take 3 to 2 to up to 3 to infuse another item into another. It all depends. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to masterwork it, it's even worse. It takes about 15 total to masterwork. Jeez. Masterwork and enhancement cores do not come freely. And it is something they're working on for next season. They're going to have bounties that specifically drop enhancement cores that you can pick up every single day.
Okay.
Which will be fine. I will take that. You know, they're going to make the enhancement cores a little bit more lucrative to you and not sparse. Mm-hmm. So that's fine with me. But, yeah, I had my first max gear thing dropped last night. Mm-hmm. Have that equipped. I'm at 695 on my hunter.
Okay.
So I am 5 levels away from hitting, you know, the cap. And then once I do, I can focus on my alt. I can not worry too much about my main character. Mm-hmm. So, have not cracked open the Division 2 yet. I really feel kind of bad about that.
Have you found folks to play with, though?
I haven't cracked it open, so I have no idea if there's people to play with. Now, if mm-hmm. you're talking about people I know to play with, there are people playing that I know. I haven't signed on when they've signed on. I mean, Random, who I play with on Destiny, he's got the game too, but we just haven't jumped into it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to get back into Spider-Man too. I haven't finished the DLC on that. I'm basically in the middle of the DLC part. I'm almost done with the second part so that I can start the third and be done with it. There's a lot to do. A lot left to do. And I want to go back to God of War. I want to go back to Horizon Zero Dawn.
The backlist.
There is a backlist. We the Revolution came out this week. I saw Spigot tag us in a tweet because he was playing it. And I'm very curious into playing that as well. What is it? Shadows Die Twice came out. I have no.
Yeah.
After hearing things, I have no desire to jump into that. And we're about to hear more about that from you. That's what I played. So I mean, why don't I just throw it over to you then?
Yeah. Before Sekiro, I was playing a little bit of Fallout 4. Still teasing with the mods in that game. Had to start a new save file because the basically require you to start a whole new game all over again to get the most benefit out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. Street Fighter V as well. Did more watching than anything else. You know, they have the Capcom Fighters Network. All the matches that have been played online are saved in their network, and you can watch them anytime you
want.
Oh,
that's neat.
So you can see if you have matchup problems, like, for instance, me, I have matchup problems with, I guess, the character Urien.
Yeah.
And so I look
you can
for,
watch people.
Yeah,
okay.
I can watch people how they deal with it. And I can
you can sort by character?
Well, no, it's just you just see the matchup they have. It's like a you sort by the player.
Okay.
So this player uses this character, the character, as a and you get the list of all their matches that they play, and you just pick the ones that have that character in it.
Yeah.
So you start watching that, and you start learning some things and putting into your arsenal.
All right.
And that's what I've been doing mostly for Street Fighter V. But for the most part, it was Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice.
Yeah.
That's what I was playing this past Friday. And if you think it's going to be like Dark Souls or Bloodborne, you thought wrong. It's a little bit more complicated than that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot you have to deal with. There's a lot of similarities, of course. You know, but for the most part, it's something completely new that you have to deal with. You basically have to unlearn what you've done in the Dark Souls and Bloodborne universe, for the most part. Because you have a different different mechanics of motion, fighting, things mm-hmm. like that. You can't, like Dark Souls, you used to a shield and sword and shield and things like that. If there's no shield in here, you're going to be dodging or parrying.
Yeah.
And since I am terrible at parrying in Dark Souls and countering in Bloodborne with the sidearm, I'm having a pretty difficult time playing through this game right now because my timing is awful in sword fights.
That's right up your alley, though, then. You like the difficult games.
Yeah, yeah, it is difficult. And I'm still pressing on despite the... I think this is the most I've died in any Souls-esque type game.
Did you get the steelbook?
I didn't get the steelbook.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
I didn't
sure.
get the steelbook, no. I'll probably have to mail order that later on.
And that's fine. I just was curious.
Like I said, a lot of similarities, like in the mechanics, like the Estus flask that you used to in Dark Souls, you have the medicinal gourd. Estus shards builds it up. Gourd seeds builds up your flask in this mm-hmm. game. A lot of similarities to items. Just read the descriptions if you're used to the Dark Souls and Bloodborne universe. The thing that gets me, though, for the fighting mechanic is basically you have three forms of defense. You can parry or deflect in the game. You can jump or you can dash. Now, in my case, I'm so used to Dark Souls and Bloodborne, I'm not used to jumping. So sometimes there were matches where I'm like, oh, I forgot. Yeah, I can actually jump.
You can actually jump in this game. Yeah.
And there's some attacks in the game where you can't avoid them unless you do a certain maneuver. You can only deflect this move. You can only jump this move. You can only dash out the way of this move. And if I'm not mistaken, throws you can only dash out of. Thrust attacks are the ones you have to deflect, and the sweeping ones are the ones you have to jump over. The key is recognizing what is coming from each opponent that you face. And that's the thing that's getting me, is like meeting a new opponent and not knowing what they're capable of.
Yeah.
Because bosses, of course, can take you out, but I'm finding that the normal enemies that go through, they're no slouches either. They can take you down in one or two hits, no problem.
Hmm.
And it's a very complicated game, and it's very, very challenging. I can see a lot of folks raging through this thing. There are going to be videos out there, I promise you, of people probably throwing controllers, breaking things, or things of that nature that gets real popular views on the internet when people deal with things like this. It's kind of like what happened with Resident Evil. Remember when folks were getting frustrated over the fact that they had to do item management and the difficulty ratcheted up there, and they got really upset with it.
I mean,
this is no different.
Back when, not the remake, but the original. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Inventory management. Yeah.
Yeah. Things like that. But I'm having a really good time with it. But it is a test. It is a trial. It will push the limits of your patience. I mean, right now I'm at a boss fight with a character. If anyone's familiar, who's played the game, Juzo the Drunkard, a huge guy with his
Juzo the Drunkard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they got some names for you in these things, man. But it's a really huge this really huge guy with this gourd of wine. He drinks it and he has all these various attacks. But the problem with him is it's not him that's really the problem. It's his boy surrounding him. Getting there is tough. But then I have to take out all the support. It's like, I think it's about eight guys I have to take out first before I make the whole battle one-on-one.
Right.
So if I get killed in the battle, which if he hits you like once, that's like 50% of your lifeline.
Oh.
So, and it, and I'm usually at 50% getting there because it's a trial getting there. I get hit during that time as well, and I don't have a lot of resources at the time. Because in Dark Souls and Bloodborne, you could like farm your souls and build it up over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And just lather, rinse, repeat.
Yeah.
And build up your health and level, right? And this one in Sekiro, you have to get these prayer beads to build up your health and vitality, health and stamina.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see those drop until I beat mid boss characters. So I'm going to have to earn my health in this one. I can't, like, just go farm souls or whatever. I have to go earn
what's,
these things.
What's the gimmick here on you can die and then resurrect, right?
You can die. Story-wise, spoilers if anyone's wants to avoid this, but there's a lord of the region, Lord Kuro. Your character's name is Wolf, and he was supposed to protect this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Kuro has a special blood, dragon blood or whatever. And its effect on you is that it allows you to resurrect upon death. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But in the game mechanic, it's like you can resurrect one time. And if you resurrect, you're out of resurrection energy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get killed, that's it. You're dead. You have to go back to where your last save was.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if you use the resurrection energy, you can build it back up by taking out enemies along the way. And you can get another one back.
Yeah.
Right? That's how the mechanic works in this game. You still lose things upon death, like in Dark Souls and Bloodborne. You lose half of your currency, and you lose a little bit of skill points that you use to increase your skills in the game as well. So it's kind of hard to maintain all the skill points and currency that you got when you're dying repeatedly over and over and over again. You would die a lot in this thing. You would die a lot in this game. But outside of that, dealing with the boss I was talking about,
mm-hmm.
it's I gotta be patient. I gotta be real patient in this battle because, like I said, one hit and I'm gone.
Yeah.
The way my health is right now, one hit and I'm gone, and I don't have a lot of resources available at the time because I can't farm for it like I could in Dark Souls and Bloodborne. I can't do that in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to earn it. So I'm gonna have to be real patient and methodical in how I deal with all the bosses in the game. I mean, I had the first one I went to, I died like 10 times going against him, and I finally got past him. The next person, because it was familiar with the first battle I had, I got him maybe a little less than that, maybe 7 to 8 times. But this one, I've already died more than 10 times already, and it's something I just keep coming back for more. Eventually, I'll get it. I got the skills to take him down. I just got to put them all together properly.
Yeah.
And so that's the part of the joy I'm having playing this game.
Yeah. How many hours have you put in?
I put in about three and a half, four hours in the game right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't know, where do you have any idea where you are? Like story wise, or maybe level wise.
Not story wise. Basically, the child's been taken from him, so he's going to go get him back. But he has to go to various regions in the area to go find him. And I've only had like 3 areas that I've opened up so far. Dilapidated Castle, Hinata Estate. And I believe there's another place, some forest area or someplace that I have to go to as well. And that's where I'm at right now, trying to go through the story and find the kid, basically.
Sorry, I didn't listen to you. You just said
I understand.
So I was on the phone.
Yeah.
Man, I hate it when Matt's not here.
No, don't worry about it. It's like I said, it's just, I got 3 areas I found, and I'm going through that right now. But basically, the whole gist is basically find the kid.
Okay.
Lord Genichiro took Lord Kuro from you, so go through this area and find the kid. Get him back. That's pretty straightforward there.
But you feel like it's something that's going to hold your attention, going to keep you going?
I mean, I'm going to be playing this until I get through it. Let's see, the next thing I got on my agenda is Mortal Kombat, and that's not till mid to late April.
It's April, yeah.
Yeah, that's a while from now, so I'll be playing this for a good while.
You say a while, but it's like a month, you know. I think it's late April, and, you know, what is it, 23rd of March, so you're looking at...
About a month from now.
Yeah,
I think the 22nd of April is when it comes out.
That doesn't feel as long as it... should, I guess.
Well, I'll be occupied.
Yeah, well,
I'll be occupied playing this.
How do you feel like the comparisons towards the Dark Souls? I mean, obviously, because it's the same developer.
It's got elements of it, sure. I mean, there's a lot of similarities, true, but I'm trying to think of something more kind of like a, remember Ninja Gaiden on PlayStation 3?
I was going to say, I'm like on the Nintendo system, yeah, but I remember that. Oh, you, but the revamp when they did?
Yeah. 3D, yeah. Very difficult.
Very difficult. Around, I was not used to that kind of.
I think more of along the lines of that.
And I was so disappointed too because I'm like, this is hard. I don't like it. I just I was like, oh, no, I don't like this. It's this is very difficult.
I don't like getting hit twice and dying. Right?
Oh man, it was rough.
Yeah, yeah,
it was rough.
Kind of like what it felt like playing this.
Yeah,
really. Very difficult. Very difficult. Very straightforward. You can do it, but you just have to put some time in and patience. Lots of patience.
Yeah.
Just don't go throwing your control at the screen and things like that.
And before I let you go, when we go to break, we do have Spigot on the phone. Brock is calling us, and Brock, I'm going to ask you to sit through the commercial break coming up here, and then when we come back, we'll have that whole segment for you. What I was going to ask you: do you read where, whatever? I don't know. It's a streamer where he went through the Dark Souls games, didn't take a single hit.
I can see that
he completed all three of them. Didn't take a single hit. Just recently.
Yeah.
I think it was just yesterday or the day before yesterday that happened. So, all right, we're going to take a break. Like I said, we got Brock on the phone. If you want to get on our phones and you want to talk about video games and not why we're doing a show about video games, you can call. That's what the shout out to caller online too a minute ago. What are y'all talking about? Nobody wants to hear this. You can call us 272-9228, 334 272-9228 is the number. Right now, just to throw this in, it's one of the quick hits. You know, we have these little news stories, and it's the quickest I can give you because I really have no other information on it other than it was just announced at GDC Thursday night, I think it was, and it's Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 getting a release next year. However, it's Paradox Interactive. I like Paradox as far as a publisher. Now, the developers, I'm not exactly sure the developers were. Not that it matters. It could be Paradox themselves. Because they have hired the... Look, Chris Avalon is part of it. But Chris Avalon is part of RPG. RPG game, Chris Avalon's got his name on it in some way or another. So, yeah, Chris is involved, sure. But the original writer of the first game is now also involved for this second one. Or I say is involved. Has been involved and has been writing the second game, which that's always good. It's always good that you can bring that back and put that in. So we'll see. In honor of that, I had to go find some music. There is no theme this week. It's not simulator theme or anything like that. This is soundtrack. It's the main theme from Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines, the original. So we're going to be a quick break. We're going to be right back with Brock coming up next here on In-Game Chat. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice. This is the main menu theme is what it's labeled.
Yeah.
I never know when I don't play the game if this is actually music from the game or not. I just trust in the YouTube description of it being what it is.
Yes, trust in YouTube.
Yeah, I have to. Yeah. On the games that I don't play, put it that way. So, yeah. We got a lot of these because we got Baba Is You that is showing up a little bit later on. And I found some music for We the Revolution, which, speaking of, we have Brock on the phone calling us from Canada. Hi, Brock.
Hello.
Hey.
Ahoy, hoy.
Yeah. You know, I saw where you had sent a tweet about playing We the Revolution, but before we get into that, is there anything else that you played that you want to talk about? Or I don't actually know what you were calling for, to be honest with you.
No, I'm just lonely.
So are we, so thanks for calling.
No, actually, you know, I wanted to talk about Sekiro a little bit as well.
Okay, well, see, RJ had left out, so he talked about it, and oops, I forgot the camera.
Oops.
Forgot to do the camera. Got to remember the camera. Thank you, Lethal Migraine. Mm-hmm. RJ had talked about another aspect that he wasn't able to, that he had forgotten to mention, which was the stealth aspect.
Yeah, stealth, basically, yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah, I really
feel
like
free for both of you to have a conversation with the game there.
Yeah,
he's much further than I am.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm still struggling to get past the first general in the sort of dilapidated castle area, I guess. Would be sort of the first real area you get to after you start the game proper. So,
yeah.
I'm having fun. Just kind of, there's a chicken, this giant chicken, and I just like to go and, you know, grind, kill it, go back, respawn it, go back and kill it because it's easy and it doesn't hurt me. So
I didn't know Brock that you were a Dark Souls Bloodborne kind of gamer player.
I keep trying. I'm not as good at them. I'm nowhere near the level that RJ is. I've probably made the most progress in any of those games with Bloodborne. I got pretty far in it. Never did actually finish it, but I actually got quite far. I've only really played... I played Demon Souls back in the day, which I wish they would do a remaster for.
That would be nice.
And I've gotten, you know, sort of a little far in Dark Souls 1. I keep trying it. Every time I try to play Dark Souls, I'll get to about the first set with fight with the gargoyles, and that's about as far as I can get.
Yeah.
I'm no good. But I did really like Bloodborne a lot, and this looked a little more, you know, in that little quicker paced style. I do like the fact that you can also go back and train a lot with the guy back at the initial temple.
Yeah, Hanbei, yeah.
Yeah, so it's nice because I can go back and sort of fight him to get better at the parrying and the various other techniques.
Yeah.
So, and the fact it's very stealthy, and so it kind of rewards the stealth approach as well. I love stealth games, and so between that and zipping around with my little grappling hook arm and whatnot, like I'm still, I just sort of started playing a bit last night, so I haven't had time to put a lot of time into it. I found this chicken and
going to kill it over and over again.
It's a great big chicken. It's about the size of me, but it goes down easily. And then I can just, you know, try to get experience from it and the sort of initial guard. So I'm still getting used to it. But it's one of those games like this, the From games, I appreciate them. I'm not that good at them, but I still really do like to try them. And maybe this will be the one that maybe I'll get a little further. But it is tough. But
that's the thing about From Games, you know, you will push yourself playing these games, you know. Yep. It is a challenge, really. But I was saying earlier, Brock, about the stealth aspect, it was something I was not accustomed to in the Demon's Souls, Dark Souls, and Bloodborne series, because I would just go around, you see something, there's no point in hiding, it's going to come for you no matter where you're at. Go fight it. Go take it out.
If you're on the roofs, can they come up on top of the roof?
No, they could. Well, I haven't met anyone. I haven't met anyone that could do that. But yeah.
But if you get spotted or if they're chasing you, you can evade and get on the roof and you're safe.
Yeah,
with the exception of projectiles, if they have those, I suppose.
Yeah.
But that's
people. I know there's at least one enemy, you know, that I've come across that does have a rifle. And so if they spot you, they'll start to shoot you from a distance.
I met that guy, yeah.
They don't seem to notice, though, if you kill their buddy that's not that far from them. So, you know, that was kind of interesting. There's a set near the beginning of the game where you sort of have two enemies that are kind of across a path from each other. And if you sneak up, kill one quietly, the other one doesn't even turn to check you out. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah. How much time did you spend walking in the tall grass in the game so far?
Oh, lots.
Yeah.
I hide in the grass. I hide on the roofs, and mm-hmm. then I go kill all the chicken.
Yep. So. Yeah. There's a big floral fields and weeds and everything you can hide in, things like that, which really came in handy against one boss. There's one tip for you, Brock. One of those bosses, you know, the ones have the two blips on top of their health meter, which indicates they have to get two death blows to.
Hmm.
One death blow won't cut it. You got to do a death blow again. And every time you get a death blow on them, it'll take one of those blips away. And you got to empty it out before you can take them down permanently.
Yep.
But they can be snuck up on from behind. And I don't think the game tells you that you can sneak up on someone from behind and backstab them. I guess they assume, since it's a From game, it's going to be a feature that's in there. But you can sneak up on them and do that, and that applies to generals and bosses, generals as well.
Yeah, I've been trying to sneak up on the first general that you come across.
Yeah.
There's not really anywhere. All the grass, like, he spots you from coming across the map.
Yeah.
Adam, and I have not been able to figure out a way to sneak up on him yet. I wish I could, because at least I could knock him down a peg. Like, I've taken down one of those blips, but not enough to do permanent damage. If those generals died, they don't respawn, do they?
They have not respawned. Whenever I went back to the Buddha statue, and which is basically the bonfire equivalent in this game.
No, it's the equivalent.
In Sekiro. They don't respawn. Those bosses and mid-bosses don't respawn. Don't respawn, but the other main enemies do.
Yeah.
More or less the same way as it's always been. But the boss after that, there's plenty of areas to hide in. But the thing is, though, you may have experienced before, if you delay too long in taking down their health, it'll regenerate.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I've had that happen before. I did a backstab on a general, and it took one of the blips away completely, right? I'm like,
no, okay. I didn't realize they'd respawn their health.
I'm off to a good start. But he had his support with him, about four or five guys with him. And there was no way I was going to survive the boss and those five guys with him. So I took off, and I thought, okay, I got one. I'll let everything calm down. I'll come back and take him out, because I can't survive a 6-on-1. I can't do that. So after the heat died down, I got back there, and I went into hiding again. I got back to the boss. I backstabbed, and his health was completely regenerated afterwards. So I'm like, oh, God, I got to do this all over again. Didn't even die. I just went into hiding to let the heat die down. As soon as it did, he's back to full health. So when you fight him, you got to – if you do manage to get a backstab on him, you got to fight him right then and there.
Just keep going, eh?
Keep going. Keep fighting. So best thing to do, from what I'm gathering, is – take all his support out, and they're always going to have support with them. Take them all out before you start engaging the boss.
Good to know. Good to know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you found any new prosthetic arms?
I found three so far.
You can get new arms,
new tools for each arm, new tools for the prosthetic arm. Yeah,
neat.
There's not
just grappling hook. You can have different tools.
I know you can get like a shuriken launcher.
Yeah.
I think there's a flamethrower you can get at some point. What I've seen, just of what I've seen, in the trailers and stuff like that, there's at least the flamethrower and the shuriken.
Yeah, there's a. I found the. Of course, you get the grappling hook from the get go.
Yeah,
you find the shuriken launcher just before the general that you're facing. Yeah, just before the general, you find the shuriken launcher. You find the heavy axe in the Harada Estate, which is a maze, by the way.
No.
It's easy to get lost in some areas of the game. You're like, okay, I think I was here before, but not really. Wait, what's around me? I can't recognize this area. But yeah, some areas are mazes in this game, and it's easy to get disoriented sometimes. But you find an axe in the Harada Estate, and you also get a I forget the name. It's something with flame. It's the flame launcher you were talking about. There's some thing that launches flame in there as well. And I think that was in the Harada State as well.
Delinquent says there's the axe arm prosthetic.
Yeah, the heavy axe that I had. Yeah. The thing there. But the thing about those prosthetics, the tools for the prosthetics, you have to have ammo to use it.
Exactly.
Even to swing the axe, you got to have ammo for it. And they're done by way of these small talismans that you get. You can always buy them at the Buddha statue when you're resting. You can always buy them.
You
there.
Also get them from killing enemies.
Killing enemies as well. Yeah, sometimes they'll be lying around. You just walk past them. They'll be added to your inventory. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're going to need them to do so. I think the shuriken launcher uses one talisman per throw.
Yep.
The axe uses two talismans per swing, and the flame launcher uses three talismans per activation. Mm-hmm. So you gotta prioritize what you want for and bear in mind how much you're using when you do so. Because yeah, some of them, I mean they may be really effective, but they'll eat up your ammo quick, no time. It's kind of like the quicksilver bullets in
Bloodborne.
Yeah, some shots are like a cannon. I got a cannon once in that game, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be nice. But then I saw it took 10.
Here goes all your ammo.
Like, yeah, the 10 of your quicksilver bullets. You can only carry 20 at a time. I'm like, okay,
oh my.
Never mind. I'll use this on bosses and bosses only. Nobody else.
Yeah, two shots, that's it.
Yep.
Yeesh.
Yeah, I don't know if you talked about this earlier, RJ, but I also found, and I don't recall this being a trait of the Souls or the Bloodborne game, but it's... Mm-hmm. Very much more like almost like a platformer in the fact that you're grabbing onto ledges, shimmying around. It's almost like a like an action 3D platformer type thing.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, because I don't like I know in Dark Souls you just fall off of everything.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I don't think you could do anything like this in Bloodborne that I can remember. Whereas this, you're mm-hmm. you're very much you're you know between your grappling hook and also just jumping up, grabbing ledges, you know. Holding, dropping down ledges and then sort of shimmying around mm-hmm. obstacles and stuff like that.
Yeah, I didn't notice anything like that. I've also noticed that running, it's not really a detriment to running. I mean, the Dark Souls and Bloodborne, if you ran, you know, your stamina would constantly whittle down until zero and you had to stop and take a break.
Yeah.
I've not had that problem in Sekiro.
No.
Running,
is there even a stamina meter in this? I don't think there even is.
The only time stamina comes into play is during sword fights. Because posture. Thank you. Posture. Because if you take a lot of, if you block a lot of shots, it's going to break your posture. And if your posture is broken, you're opened up for a death blow.
Mm.
And bosses are notorious. Like one swing, like I think one swing from Juzo that I'm at, the boss I'm at, one swing from him, and I'm like half of my posture is gone. So I can't sit there and block all day. I'd have to deflect. But like I said before, my deflection skills are trash.
So, it is very parry heavy. You need to parry in this one.
Yeah. In my case, trying to keep my distance really from him. That's why it's taking so long to get past him.
How long do we have you for, Brock?
A little bit. Probably till the top of the hour at least.
Okay, because we got another 15 minutes before we go to the top. Well, a little less than 15 minutes before we go to the top of the hour. And I don't want to leave without talking about not just We the Revolution, mm-hmm. but I'd love to... I don't even know. Did you read up and see on... I don't know, do we want to talk about the Nindy announcements, the stuff with the indies for the Nintendo Switch? Or do we want to go into... I don't know, there's a lot to go into. I really obviously want to talk about... the Google Stadia thing.
I won't have anything to add to that besides the fact that it won't probably work for me because my internet's not that great. So
yeah,
well, that good.
that's gonna come up in the conversation, honestly.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of big like question marks for that thing. So yeah, but tell us about look, We the Revolution is a game. It's finally out. I didn't realize it was getting released.
Just came out about a day or
so. Yeah. So. The fact that it's now out, I played this at PAX actually, back in September, and it was a little tough to get through because there's not a lot of action on screen. There's a lot of reading on screen.
A lot of text.
Yeah, there's a lot of reading. Normally, I'm not big on the games where you got to read a lot, and I know that sounds a little bit juvenile, but it's not necessarily that's the case, but... it can be hard to hold my attention when the story is given to me in a text form.
Well, especially on a show floor kind of thing like that.
And definitely on a show floor when you've got people walking around, and not that it matters that people are walking around, but I can see other games. I can see people playing other things. So your attention gets diverted a little bit. But I did enjoy what I played, and I'm glad it's released. But you picked it up.
I did, because I've been kind of keeping my eyes peeled for it, so I was happy when I saw it was finally out, based on what you had said earlier in the year. So, I'm not terribly far in it. I'm still, I think, in just the first act.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, and I do need to go and brush up on my French Revolution history, because it is very much trying to, you know, it refers to a lot of historical figures and events and things like that. But it's been interesting so far because you're a judge on the Revolutionary Tribunal, and you have all sorts of different cases that come to you, and there's so many things you're trying to balance because you need to balance whether you're, you know, going to be keeping the people happy, if you're keeping the revolutionaries happy, if you're keeping your family happy, and every decision you make, and even some of the questions. Oh, you also have to keep the jury happy, because if you go against what the jury would like to have happen, you know, you could be satisfying one of the other factions, but then the jury won't like you, and then that could also impact you later
You've
on.
Got to, it's weird. You've got to make everybody happy.
It's nigh impossible.
Which sounds impossible.
It's very hard.
Yes.
To do that, to make everybody happy. But also, and so, fine, you can't make everybody happy, but it's also difficult to not make them so angry with you.
Yeah, because if it gets too bad, I mean, they're going to haul you off to the guillotine. So, I did actually have my first person who's, you know, got a bit of an extreme haircut, as I like to call it. So, you know, he was my first person there, and even there you can give a speech to the crowd, and you want to try to keep them happy as well, so they don't want to turf you up, because you get bonuses based on different things, and there are also penalties based on other things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I haven't gotten, you know, terribly far in it yet, and I haven't gotten dragged off into the sunset myself yet, but it's looking interesting, especially as we start going further along to see what's going to happen. How am I going to navigate this minefield that I'm on, and hopefully not send too many innocent people to either the prison or to the guillotine, or not let too many innocent people go either.
Yeah, like, but you still have to make that decision though, and the decision is not as clear cut as it normally. It's not one of those things like you don't feel like Phoenix Wright where you discover clues and then you've got enough evidence to prove your case. You don't get things like that. You're making a decision based on what evidence there is. You don't go out and get
very
more.
Much like Papers, Please. If you play it's very much like that. You are basically given a summary of the case. You have to, from there, try to figure out there's like a little sort of, I don't want to say mini game, but you're trying to unlock questions to ask to get more information, and then from there. Try to get some information. Depending on the questions you ask, that will sway the jury one way or the other. And then you have to decide. You always have the option of, death, prison, or acquittal.
Yeah.
You make that decision at the end, and then you have to live with the ramifications of that. Yeah. So,
Is the question like in L.A. Noir, where nothing will open up unless you ask the right question based on what you get, something like that?
No, because basically in the case file that you're given, usually it's one or two pages, just basically summarizing the case, and maybe there's a piece of evidence, which is usually a letter that someone has. It has certain keywords that are highlighted, and then from there you have to try to figure out, is this a piece of evidence? Is this some extenuating circumstances? Is this something about the motive of why this person would do? So depending on how you put each of those keywords into the, which category they fall into.
Mm-hmm.
You only have a certain amount of chances because you can put them in the wrong category. And if you do that two or three times, then you won't get to find out any more questions. So you could have maybe six or seven questions you can ask, or you might only have two, depending on how well you figure that out. And then it just basically gives you information that may help you to figure out whether this person is innocent or deserves to go to jail or whatever.
Mm.
Yeah, so
I enjoyed it. I really, really enjoyed the little bit that I played. Just made me want to play more of it.
It's got a really neat art style to it, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that.
No, I do. I remember it, yeah.
This weird kind of, everything is made up of triangles, almost.
It's motion comic-esque, but like polygonal, sort of.
Yeah, yeah. It's beautiful, though. It's
but not
really
Star Foxy?
No.
Or,
just everything, or everything
Virtual
is made
Fightery?
Of, yeah, everything is made up of triangles, almost. I mean, not everything, but a lot of it, especially when it starts to get into like close-ups and stuff like that, you sort of see that pop out more. But it really works with just, you know, how everything else moves around and stuff like that, because it's just enough to give it this really unique look. So, but yeah, I've been quite enjoying that for what I've played, and look forward to seeing what else happens with it. You talked about Baba Is You. I've been playing that a little bit.
I figured you'd picked it up.
Oh, heck yeah.
I figured you'd picked it up. We got that song coming up a little bit later on.
It broke my brain about 6 or 7 levels into it, and I'm completely stumped.
Yeah.
I really do want to play more of it, but I'm doing my best not to look up any
solutions.
Kind of solutions, but I am so early on in it, and I am so completely stuck. I'm almost ready to crack and see if I can find a solution to one of these early puzzles, because I have tried every. It's one of those ones where you can see what the answer is, but I have no idea how to get there.
That was going to be my question: is can you explain the gameplay in the 5 minutes we've got here? Can you try to explain how you play Baba Is You?
It is, if you have played any of those puzzle games where you sort of push crates around, I believe it's like called like Sokoban or something like that. If you want to go really old school, if anyone's ever played Adventures of Lolo,
I mentioned that game last week. On this show, last week on this show, I mentioned because we were talking about, and I'm cutting into your time here, but we were talking about it was the fee of an old game, how much you would pay, because we were talking about Halo coming to the PC, and we were talking about how much Halo was going to cost. And I said, you know, I'd pay $20 for Halo on PC. And Matt was like, oh, that's a little high, and you know. And somebody brought up the Nintendo stuff, and I said, well, I've got a bunch of them, you know, downloaded, and they're on my little NES Classic and everything else. But if that option wasn't available, if the only way for me to play old Nintendo games, I would be fine, perfectly fine, paying the $5 for the select games that I remember enjoying from back then. And I mentioned Kid Nicky, and I mentioned Mighty Bomberman.
And Bomb Jack.
Or Bomb Jack. Mighty Bomb Jack. Bomb Jack. And I also mentioned Adventures of Lolo. The only game, by the way, that I ever called the Nintendo helpline on.
Oh, wow.
And had to explain to my father after we got the phone bill why there was that phone call on the phone bill.
How much was that bill?
Oh, I don't know. It was probably, oh, God, I can't remember what it was.
Significantly more than a normal phone call?
Well, it was like a 900 number.
Or
you know?
Like that, or
yeah, it was like
significantly more than.
It was like a certain.
Per minute?
Yeah, it was a certain charge for the minute and then something each additional minute.
Yeah.
And I can remember, this is one of those things in your childhood that sticks out, getting all sweaty, because I'm at home, my parents left me home, you know, alone. They'd go to, during the summer, I would stay home and they would go to work.
Right.
I was a kid. And I remember, like, I'm going to call that number. I'm going to do it. And I called. And I felt so, afterwards, I felt so guilty after I got the phone. I had my solution, but I felt so guilty. And then I had to explain it to my, he didn't get angry or anything, but I was told not to do that ever again. and so I never did, but, oh, man.
Then the internet happened.
Can you imagine if the internet still wasn't around and you still had to call helplines and...
Or work for it. Or work for your solution.
But so, anyway, back to Baba Is You. It's a push-box puzzler.
So it's a block-pushing puzzle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, normally, you're just trying to move things out of the way. You know, I'm sure people have played variations of that type of puzzle in, you know, all sorts of different action games and adventure.
Right, yeah.
Survival horror games over the years, like... but you basically, you know, you need to clear a path so you can get to wherever the end goal is. So that's how these games normally work. And in Baba Is You, you're doing that, but you're pushing, a lot of the time you're pushing words around. So it'll say, you know, flag is win, or, you know, Baba Is You. And then if you were to shove the word rock in where you is, then Baba is rock, and then so the little Baba character would turn into a rock. rock is you, and then you turn into the rock, so then you can move the rocks around. One of the levels you can turn into, you can put wall is you, and then you are the walls on the stage, and then you just move that around until you hit the flag, and then you win. So it's a matter, it's manipulating the conditions of the map. You can have, it'll say, like, wall is stop, so you can't walk through walls. But then, if you move the word stop away from that little sentence, so each of those, like, wall is basically a block, is a block, and stop is a block, so you move the stop away, you can just walk through the walls.
Hmm.
So it basically lets you sort of break the rules of the level, but that's every single level is like that. But then the thing is, it's like in a lot of those block-pushing games, if you get the blocks up against the wall, you can't move them anymore. And so
you have to reset the level?
Nice thing with this, you can just undo a move. So instead of having to reset the entire level, you can just sort of back up a little bit and then try something different. It's trying to satisfy, you know, try to make it so you can move things so you can get at whatever the win condition is for that level. And, not have things get wedged up against the wall.
Yeah.
It starts off relatively straightforward, not too hard, but like I said, I'm about maybe 6, 7, 8 levels in, and I've got 2 levels that I kind of try to get at. I have no idea how to solve those levels right now, and the problem is I can see, I just need to kind of get over to that spot to hit the win, you know, the flag or whatever it is. I have no idea how to kind of get from point A to point B in that particular sense. So, I know there's a solution, and I'm probably overthinking it. But it is both very simple and incredibly frustrating at the same time. So that is, if you like puzzle games, it is definitely worth trying out, because it'll really stretch your brain.
I will say just one thing before I let you go, and it deals with the, it deals with the Nindies that was announced, the Nintendo indie games coming to the Switch. First off, Crypt of the Necrodancer getting Legend of Zelda characters is one. The other one, though, and I'm trying to find the name of it here, where did it go? Creature in the Well. I don't know if you saw the trailer for that.
I have not had a chance to look at the trailer for that. I remember seeing something about that, but I haven't had a chance to look into it yet.
It's, what do they say it is? It's stylized pinball action.
Oh, yes, that one. Yeah. You played Yuko's Island.
Huh?
Have you played Yuko's Island? Was it Yuko's Island delivery service or something like that?
No, I haven't.
It's the one that's basically a platformer where you're like a little bug. But it's all pinball levels.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It's great. I've got it on the Switch. It's also out on a few different other... I think every system's got a copy of it now.
Yeah, Creature in the Well is developed by Flight School, and you hit your pinballs with swords, and you can... Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a roguelike pinball.
Yes, very much.
Yeah. Okay, now I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. So, Brock.
That one you should buy, but you should check out Yuko's Island. Yes, Yuko's Island Express, I think, is what it's called.
Steam, or is that Switch?
It's on Switch. It's also on PS4, Xbox, PC. It's on everything.
Oh, okay, it's one of those. Gotcha.
But it's a platformer, but it also has. It's all built around pinball type levels.
Yeah. All right. Well,
might tickle your fancy.
I'm always interested in pinball stuff, man. Always interested in pinball stuff. Hey, we appreciate you calling. Thanks so much and spending time with us as well. Thank you, and we look forward to hearing from you again.
Nice talking to you guys.
All right, man. Take care.
Take care, Al.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Okay. If you want to get into the show, you can. 334-272-9228 is the number. 334-272-9228. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will jump into the Stadia talk. RJ, probably sure you didn't watch any of this or read up on any of this.
I've seen a little bit on that, a little bit on the thing. So
yeah,
I got questions more than anything else.
Well, a lot of people do. So we'll tell you about that. We can't really tell you much because there's still a lot of questions to be answered from it. But there's that, and then Epic Games had some discussion about what they're going to do, how they're going to do it. and just brought a lot of nothing necessarily bad, but they grabbed a whole bunch of exclusives, and it's kind of annoying a lot of people who play games, and I still can't figure out why. But you can call us and you can talk to us if you'd like to. We're going to go to a break. Here is music from a game called Factorio, which I've never played, but I've seen it. And this is called Automation. We'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. Huh?
It's not like a Donkey Kong remix.
It is not. It is the theme. Put the camera back on. I don't know why I can't remember to do that all of a sudden. It's the. It's called Baba Is Theme because it's Baba Is You. It's the theme for Baba Is You.
Okay.
Probably like the main menu music or something.
I'm hearing all those original Donkey Kong sounds in there.
That little part right there, yeah. That sounds like...
whenever Mario takes a step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Jumpman, I guess is what he was called.
Jumpman, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome back to the show. It's just me and RJ this week. Matt is out of town. He's in town, but he's at a function. I think he's playing dress-up today. Which is fine. What is it outside? It's 77... He ought to be all right. It's still hot in those suits regardless.
Yeah,
but but yeah, he should be okay. It's better than what it's going to be as we get closer and closer to the summer and into the summer and all the things he's going to have to do with all of his
costumes. Liz is in his Stormtrooper outfit. I mean, I think he's got the fans working in that thing now, right?
Maybe, but still.
Yeah.
It's still hot. Yeah. So, anyway, welcome back to the show, everybody. If you want to get in touch with us, you can. It is 334-272-9228 is the number to get in touch with us with. And we're going to, let's see, so we already had somebody from Canada call in, and now we have somebody from Ireland calling in. Moltile. Hey, man.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Yeah, exactly. How are you?
Hi, everything's going okay. We're going to hit some news, huh?
Yes, I want to talk about Stadia. Did you read up and watch and see and whatever on that?
Just a little bit, yes. So let's crack on.
Well, Stadia, for those of you that don't know, we talked about we talked a little bit about Stadia last year, even though we didn't know it was called Stadia. Matt and I were playing, and I don't know, Moltile, did you get in on this? I don't think you did.
I watched a bunch of stuff, but I didn't do it myself.
Yeah. Right now, I put somebody on hold. I don't know who it is, but in the middle, just hang tight. We'll get you on. So last year, I participated in this beta for something called Project Stream. Out of context, that sounds a little weird, but it was for Google. And it was basically The game that you could beta test was Assassin's Creed Odyssey, the new Assassin's Creed game. And the way it worked is that you just went to a website, Google's Project Stream webpage, and clicked the play button, and all of a sudden you were playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey. There was no load-in. There was no let's load. Now, the game loads like a game would load on any other system, but it wasn't like you had to load the game.
Download.
Yeah, you didn't have to download it. You didn't have to install it. You didn't, you had to sit through logos and stuff like that, you know, the usual stuff. But it wasn't like you click play and then you wait for a buffer to come up, you know. It just was like, boom, here you go, start playing the game. Just as if you had clicked play on Steam or whatever to play a game.
Mm-hmm.
It worked exactly like that. And my experience with it, and this is where it comes into how did you enjoy it. My experience with it was actually quite amazing. I've played streaming games before. I had the online on live system from way back when, and that was that held promise, but it wasn't the best.
Mm-hmm.
Still, it held some promise, and it was okay. This was unbelievably smooth, just easy to deal with, completely smooth, had no hiccups, played wonderfully. Beta session was over with. It stopped, I think, sometime in January or something like that. Got my free game of Assassin's Creed Odyssey. That's fantastic. And then Google has their announcement for Stadia, which is basically, here's what we were beta testing. We're beta testing streaming video games now through your browser. And it doesn't matter the build of a PC that you have anymore. You can play, you know. If you've got Google Chrome, you can play it. If you've got Chromecast, you can play it on your TV. On your phone, somehow, you can play it on your phone. I don't necessarily know how it works on your phone. I think you have to have one of the Google phones, like Google Pixel or something like that. And then, like, on a tablet. In fact, on the stage demo, we saw this guy jump from platform to platform, picking up where he had left off on the previous platform into the next one, with hardly any wait time whatsoever in between the two. It was just, boom, I'm going to start. Here we go. Boom. Sits me right into the game. So it was interesting to see that. But there's still a lot of questions that people have. They did not talk about price. They did not talk about, in general, how this will work. Are you paying per game? Is it going to be subscription-based?
Is it going to be both?
I'm thinking subscription based.
You know, what was your question, Motel?
I was saying, is it going to be both? You know, because they have
Are they going to have options
where you get a baseline sort of, you know, Xbox Live sort of Game Pass, and then you've got on top of that, you're buying the new games that are coming out right now. So instead of buying a console, you're buying a subscription, and then you're also buying the games on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could that not be a case that, you know, this is why a big name. Regardless of what people think about the game, Ubisoft is still a massive player in the game, and then on top of that, Assassin's Creed is still pulling in massive numbers. They wouldn't be producing so many if it wasn't. So why are they getting such a massive name title to bring in as many people as possible to test this, you know, to test, you know, the whole system itself, just as you did, Scott?
Yeah.
And they're bringing in this massive game for it. They didn't pick up some indie title and buy them outright. They contacted one of the biggest names in gaming, which is Ubisoft, and picked up one of their biggest assets to try this on. Mm-hmm. You know, at the very least, we know that there's massive amounts of money behind this. Massive. There can't be. You know, like, there couldn't be not this amount of money behind this project.
Yeah.
With them being able to pick up a AAA license like this to be able to just, oh, we'll just test it with this one. You know, they could have done anything. They could have done anything at all, but they picked up this AAA game for everyone to test on, even before they had released the name of this product.
I try to think of any other AAA game at that time that they could have put out there for streaming that was not, you know, Spider-Man was out at that time, but that's a completely Sony exclusive, so there was no way that was going to make it. I'm trying to think of something else, but notice that Assassin's Creed Odyssey did not have multiplayer attached to it. So I think it would have had to have been limited to a single-player game.
I suppose that's definitely one way to look at it, but the way I'm thinking of it is you're talking about, you know, the parameters that are, you're restricting the idea of, well, it doesn't have multiplayer and it doesn't have this, that, and the other. But what it does have is, you know, naming power and the backing behind that, the publicity of the idea of buying this game, which is still AAA game worthy. You know, it would be like one of the sports games or one, you know, it's still a massive header. It's going to have a massive impact on the gaming market.
Of course.
There's a lot of money.
But we don't know how much money they're going to ask from us. We know there's a controller that's involved, so that's going to have a price tag attached to it. But we also know you don't necessarily need that controller that I know of to actually participate in this. The controller has a share feature, which for some reason they seem to think that was like a new thing. And I'm like, it's on my PS4 controller. Yeah. Although I think this is a little bit more streamlined. Because once you press it, it's tied to your YouTube account, and it just, boom, sets up a live stream.
Yeah, streamy streamlined as well. It's not just like Nintendo Switch where you're just like, I'm going to dump so many seconds onto my console. It's a full functioning one.
Very streamlined. It's got a Google Assistant button on it, so you can ask. Apparently, you know, we were talking about me dialing that stupid phone number when I was a kid, but apparently you can press this and ask. The Google Assistant for help. I don't necessarily know help in what. If it's help to be like, how do I get past this level, or what do I do? I have no idea how that worked. I did notice that, one of the other aspects of it was if you're watching a trailer for a video game that you're really interested in, you can just start playing it from the trailer. You can click on play or whatever. And that will start streaming it directly right there on your system. Obviously, for a price, probably, but they never told us this. I think it'd be great for demos, especially if you see a trailer and you put a demo up there. Sure, I'd like to demo this for 10 minutes or 15 minutes or ever how long, you know, it is. The other thing being, if you're watching a streamer and the game has this connectivity built in, you can play either with them or play where they're at in the game. This one's still
Twitch
a little...
Yeah, Twitch has a reduced functionality of that where you were able to buy the game but not necessarily play with the streamer themselves.
Yeah, there's a little bit of... There's still a little bit of questions there. It was the sense that and the live demo that they had on stage was a guy playing NBA 2K whatever. And once he got done with one game, somebody else in the queue was like, hey, it's your turn to play, click now. And then boom, you're in the game with that streamer playing him, or her for that level, for that game, whatever it was. They did it with sports games, and I can easily see this with the fighting game genre. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. In like some other kind of multiplayer games or anything like that, I'm not sure. Somebody had mentioned, and I can't remember who it was. It was a forum that I was reading about, but it's sort of like game save sharing. So let's say you have a fantastic run in I don't know, you name a game that has a level where you were able to do it in a certain amount of time with these parameters set. Mm-hmm. Then you can put that out there and somebody can grab that from you on their game and go into the game with whatever parameters you had set with your same save file and try and beat your time or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Game save sharing hasn't been a thing in a long time.
No, because I'm thinking leaderboards already.
Right.
Because I'll sit there and think about, let's take Pac-Man Championship Edition, for example.
You could watch somebody else's.
I could watch how you play and then go back and try to beat it. Now I got the top score on the leaderboard, just updated. But game saves, I don't think I've had to deal with game saves since Dreamcast days.
Right,
online.
Yeah,
it's been a minute.
But there were certain parameters. I can't remember the game they used for the example.
Yeah.
But in that game they used, there are certain parameters that you have by how much weight your package, your inventory is. And so everything had to match up. And like here, you can go and try and do the same thing that I just did type of situation. I wasn't excited about this. I'm always excited when something new is announced. But coming away from it, it doesn't leave me with this everything's about to change attitude, you know?
Mm.
Because it's still... There's a lot of things that aren't answered. How fast does your internet have to be in order to enjoy this?
That's the biggest one.
They issued something saying if you want to play in 4K at 60 frames per second, you need a download speed of 30 or more.
Mm-hmm.
That's like when you see something that says, here's the minimum requirements, here's the recommended requirements.
Even look at Netflix. The amount of people I would assume that do video streaming services onto their phone know the pains of moving from your Wi-Fi connectivity onto mobile in any sort of scenario as well. It's not going to be fun. You know, and you're maneuvering inputs that's going to be upload and download at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and they're supposedly going to get over that as well. That is very, very hard to get over. This is why things had dedicated, you know, like boxes, as it were. As when we were doing it, what was it, 5-10 years ago with On Live and such like that. Like it's not an easy concept to actually get the hump over. And if they're saying it's just 30 megabytes down, that has my alarm bells ringing of, yeah, you could probably do something that's, you know, maybe story-based or, you know,
that doesn't factor in, like, what if I'm playing a multiplayer game? Like
exactly.
That's
literally what it's going to go on to, which is the fact that you're going to be communicating with other players, other servers in other districts and other locations throughout the world.
Yeah,
and you're expecting to have this to work in the same way that, you know, just a single-player game is going to be?
Yeah, you look at it's Ubisoft, and so I go to some of their multiplayer games that they have, which would be Ghost Recon Wildlands, Rainbow Six Siege, those type of games, which are... Ghost Recon Wildlands is not necessarily multiplayer. You can play it both ways, but Rainbow Six Siege definitely has a multiplayer aspect to it. And they don't have anything on there about, like, well, if you want to play 4K 60 frames per second and it's a multiplayer game, then expect that number to go up for your recommended download.
Yeah.
If you're playing it at 4K, again, that's a thing some people may be messing with, some people may not be messing with. So there's no question there, or there's no information there on how that works.
Then that's the main thing. The fact that they have, you know, you're expecting to be Google on the other end of your can with your little piece of string, but they're actually saying that, well, you know, if it's going to be multiplayer, it's going to be working the same way as it always has done, which is the servers go, you know, from the player to a server rack to another player that's always also feeding to the server rack, but now you're actually connecting through all of these, you know, already established lines
mm-hmm.
with Google themselves. It's, you know, it's something that we haven't seen working, and the fact that they haven't released a price range has me worried that the fact that they haven't actually established what's going to be happening on the network and how it's going to be working as well. Like they have a powerful lot of money behind them, like we were talking about before with Odyssey, and that itself being on the system is amazing. That's great. You know, the fact that they feel confident is a great thing to, you know, be thinking about and looking at. But the other side is the fact that they haven't said, this is the price, this is what you're going to be subscribing to, this is what you're going to be paying for, and also on top of that, this is how it's going to work in multiplayer. Is going to be massive on the game industry in general. You know, like, never mind about the people, which I agree with, by the way, well, you know, the history of games and trying to preserve games and having it all online, you know, is going to reduce the significancy and the ability to back up games in their iterations. It's going to be very, very hard. But aside from that, that's a longevity type of thing, you're talking about trying to establish yourself as a streaming service with inside multiplayer games, and you're really just trying to clip on, you know, crocodile clips on the ends of these networks and being like, yeah, you can input at this degree as other people are going to be having the input. And they haven't demonstrated that, and that's what's scary.
Now, the other thing, like I said, with no price, we don't know the amount of licensee that they're targeting for the Stadia as well. The controller... that we talked about uses Wi-Fi for a connection. We don't necessarily know if that's included into the 30, the recommended speed of your internet.
That's one of the more sensible moves as well, because then their ability to swap between device to device, especially if you have a controller, it means that your device is more than likely going to be connected to the fastest internet connection, because there's more than likely going to be your Wi-Fi connection. So if this is connected to your Wi-Fi connection, sort of pairs up with your streaming service, mm-hmm. it can try and take those inputs as quickly as possible to the device instead of going from your phone to your Wi-Fi connection and et cetera, et cetera. You're skipping the phone itself, and you're just presenting their feedback from Wi-Fi connection after you've made the input.
You've also got the question, as always, comes up when, and this one's a little bit different than I would say the Steam argument or the digital argument. The argument of I like my games physical, I like my games on a disc, stuff like that. Which sometimes I'm okay. I'm really neither with any of them, but I sort of prefer digital, even though I like my steelbooks and stuff. I kind of prefer digital just for the fact that it's all stored. It's all there whenever I need it. I don't have to go looking for the disc or the game or whatever.
Yeah. And in my case, I'm the opposite. I prefer physical.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do digital, but I prefer physical.
And while a lot of people think that you don't, when you own a digital game, you don't necessarily own it, you know?
That's not my point exactly. My point is the fact that at some point, the server's going to get turned off.
Yeah.
And the fact that, we are able to retain books much easier. You know, we have multiple copies of books in the idea of both in a digital and physical space in case one of them is not working. That's amazing. We should adore that sort of idea, being able to reclaim our history in some sort of fashion to go back through and look at it.
But this isn't even a part of that argument, because you don't even own, like, if I own a Steam game digitally, I can install it into my box and I own that game. It's there. It's installed on my
hard drive. I completely agree. Right. The fact is that there is no library of games. There's no public library of, we've got a random collection here, but it sort of encompasses the couple of years that we've been around and mm-hmm. we've collected some of. There's no public gaming forum where it's just there and you can sort of rent it sort of thing by being a citizen of the country who's purchased a license. You know, that whole thing, that whole establishment of libraries and the whole idea of that has not been preserved. So the idea of games being a full-on commodity that is not being preserved in any sort of fashion, except in the most extreme cases, is not, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's going to be profitable and historical in the long run if we don't preserve these types of mediums. But that's completely off the topic of actually Google having their own games on the server.
Well, yeah, because then you look at so here, so with Google's situation, not only do you not install the game, which is why I think my idea of a payment plan is going towards a subscription service, like Xbox Game Pass. I own that I own the game for as long as I'm paying that $10 a month type situation. Right. Once I stop that, it's gone.
Oh God, you're still optimistic.
No. But here's the other part, is that Google has a history, and a horrible one, of shutting down their stuff. They got rid of, was it the Google Reader, I think of what it was, which I hated to see that go. They're getting rid of, The what is it, Google Conversations, Google Chat, whatever that is. They're getting rid of GChat at some point. Mm. They got rid of the Google Plus communities or whatever it was. Yeah. I mean, Google had Google Wave. Was that a thing? I remember that. They got rid of that as well. I don't remember if I was a fan of it or not. But Google has a history of, like, here's a brand new thing that we're doing and we're putting our resources behind it. And they'll do that for maybe a year, maybe longer, but at some point they seem to kill it.
That's why this part of the discussion is happening, because Google are prone to doing this. They will they will put as strong as a foot, if not stronger, with some of their other brands as they did with, you know, this gaming platform.
Mm-hmm.
And they will invest heavily. They will make sure that people know that they mean serious business. They don't mean that this will succeed no matter what. They mean serious business. And if business isn't working, instead of just having it just exist, Google seems to be on the trend of, if it's not working for us, we'll just cut it off. You know, it's a useless limb that's still hanging around. It's like a 7 or 8 limb that's not working in the right way.
And they do very little to
cut it off.
Yeah, they do very little to get the word out that they're going to shut something down, as well
oh,
as...
Oh, yeah, they just make a decision, and they go, that's enough is enough.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of it, and we're done. That's it, done. And the fact is that, exactly as you were saying, it's going to be fully digital, and if you don't own the games, and you're just renting from them directly, regardless of how much you paid into it, that's it. You're done. Like, even Steam has a little bit more connectivity with the amount you're paying. And actually, this is part of the reason why I think that it's going to be more along the lines of you're renting the idea of using their network.
Right, yeah.
And then you're buying the games on top of that. So it's kind of like any online game, I guess. Like, you can just use Splatoon and Nintendo Switch. You get a Nintendo Switch, you have to pay online now. We are into that realm, and it's horrible, and we all hate it. But, you know, I guess their online's cheap because, you know, they want to earn money every month. So, you know, that's what they do. And then we have Splatoon, which have half, and if not much, much more, depending on how you want to frame the scenario, that's it. That's the whole idea of the game. They want you to come back and play the game online with other people over and over again, because that's the fun that they have designed.
Yeah.
Now, that's completely now tied in with the Nintendo service, so you're at least paying, what is it, £18 a year on our side? I don't know how much is on your side, maybe 20, 30...
Nintendo Online thing?
Yeah.
It's $20.
Yeah, there you go. Like, it feels cheap now, but you're still having to buy the games on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no... Like, Google are going to try and sell themselves of, well, you're paying us this amount of money a year, and you don't have to download anything. You don't have to spend money on storage. You don't have to do this, that, and the other. But the fact is that they're making you pay a month, every month, and I think they're going to have to pay you you're going to have to pay them every time you want to buy a full AAA price title game. They're gonna try and sell their subscription thing, and they're gonna try and sell premium stuff as well.
Damn.
I don't see how they couldn't do that, because that is how our industry is at the moment, which is awful.
I'll tell you, play it, demoing that service, doing the beta for that thing was, it felt really good, to be honest with you, that my computer wasn't eating up resources. I wasn't getting a dialog box popping up saying, hey, Windows needs to change the color of your thing to whatever so that you can still run this game, or get some sort of, you know, where it's eating my memory or anything like that. It was, I had no concern that my computer, for any reason other than maybe a power glitch, was going to have any problem running the game at all. I like the fact that it sort of eliminates that spec aspect of it, you know? Can my computer run this? Well, do you have an internet connection? Then it can, you know.
But is that not already a massive hurdle for some people?
I know it is.
My internet connection, I know my next-door neighbor would not have what I have.
No.
Because I invest my time and money into having a great internet connection.
That's the other part of that equation of the internet connection. First off, to play your games, you're going to have to always have the internet.
Always.
Some,
you know, the internet
don't.
Goes out, you know, not in your electricity. The internet goes out for a little bit.
Yeah.
That's your whole gaming experience ruined.
Or
you
maybe.
Last Dave.
Yeah, maybe you're just, maybe it's running slow for today for whatever reason, and then you can't play your game, you know? The other point being is that some people have caps on their internet. You know how that sort of thing works, where it's like you can only have so much over this before you have to pay more. There are massive limitations to this fact that you cannot download it to your machine and play it without being connected to the internet type of thing.
Yeah.
A lot more stuff. We are way behind on taking a break, Moltal. We've got to go to a break. But I wanted to thank you for calling in and talking to us about this. I do appreciate it. That was basically the big hit, was this whole Stadia thing, and what that was going to bring.
Not a problem. I know you have another caller waiting. I will see you and I'll watch you later.
All right, man. Take care.
Bye bye.
Take care.
Yeah, we're going to go to a break here. When we come back, we'll just wrap up the show because we only got about 20 minutes left. Coming up, we got music from We the Revolution. This is called Spark of Hope. That game is recently out. Really fun game. I say really fun. It's entertaining. It's enjoyable to play, but there's a lot of reading you have to do in it, if you heard us talk about it earlier in the show. But it's actually really, really fascinating. Anyway, we'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Black Desert Online. It's the main theme from that game. I don't think we've ever used anything from Black Desert Online before, so that's why I grabbed it. We've only got about 10 more minutes left in the show here. Let's go to the phones. He waited very, very patiently, and we always appreciate when he waits patiently. Because he does that a lot on the show. It is Chris. Hey, Chris.
What's going on, y'all?
Oh, just talking about, what does it mean to own a game?
Yeah. I mean, if they have a way to make the Google Play or whatever it's going to be, where you could have a device like the Steam Box or something where you can play on your TV or like me through the projector, and if it's open where you can get every PC game known to man, that might be something I'd be looking forward to doing since I don't really play any PC games whatsoever,
If you've got a really good internet connection, we assume, because they're very not forthcoming on this, you can play it with a Chromecast device. Plug that into your TV, and through Chromecast, you'd be able to play PC games on your TV. But again, you wouldn't have downloaded or installed these games. You would just be streaming these games.
Yeah.
And so, that's what we talk about when it means to own a game. Mm-hmm. And kind of why we figure they're going to take the OnLive route. When OnLive was out, you paid a subscription fee to OnLive, and whatever they had in their library, you were able to stream and play. But their library wasn't full of brand new games. When Shadows Die Twice released on Tuesday, was it? Or was it Friday?
It's past Friday.
Well, when it released on Friday, it was not going to be on the OnLive service until maybe a year from now or 6 months from now. Whereas I think what Google Stadia is trying to do is be like, hey, when this thing's released for everybody else, it's also for you as well. So you can get it the same day. But again, I think they'll go with I think they'll go with subscription pricing so that it does feel like you are just renting the title. You know, you can play that title for as long as you pay the subscription fee, and then when it stops, you can't play it anymore. That seems to fit better than, here, pay the $60, now this game is yours. Oh, wait, we're going to get rid of that service. Sorry, you can't download this game and play it again. You can't do, you know, what happens?
Yeah.
We talked about if Steam ever went belly up, if Steam ever said, hey, folks, we're packing it in, we're done. We're going to close our doors at the end of this year, so use the rest of this year to download and save all the games you want to save and all the games you want to keep that you have bought, but you've only got until the end of the year to do it. Well, still, I own those games, and now I can download them and I can play those games, even though I never play my Steam games, hardly ever. But I'd still have that option to do that because I paid for and I own those games. I assume that's what would happen. We don't necessarily know what it'll be like at the end times.
Yeah.
But... But yeah, that's what we assume. We've seen this happen. We've seen this happen with I can't remember what the service was, but somebody shut down. I think there was a thing where GOG was going to go away at one point. We were worried about what was going to happen to our games then, but they never went away. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I want to say there was some service that went away, and we're like, "What's going to happen to our games?"
Yeah,
and I can't remember what the solution was or what happened there. Mm-hmm. We've seen licenses pulled off of games where they're not on the store anymore, but if you bought them, you could still play them because you bought them.
Yeah.
So they remained on a server of some sort. So.
Yeah, it's just the thing is just having access to something you paid for. Like I said earlier,
yeah.
If I pay $50-$60 for a game, I want access to it whenever I want to. And if I have to rely completely on Google giving me access to it,
And by the way, it's not just Google. Any other service that wanted to do this.
Yeah. I want to have access to it. I want to either have a physical copy in my hand, like I said, prefer physical for me, or I can at least put it on a hard drive in my computer or a hard backup drive for using later if something goes wrong with the system I got it on, you know, something like that.
The other one was Sony, but it was I guess it wasn't. It was just a demo. I was thinking of the PT demo.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't buy that, though. That was just a free demo download, and then they pulled it from the store.
They pulled it, and then everyone was, like, scrambling for access to it because, did you download it? Did you download it? Trying to get their hands on it.
And people were trying to save.
Trying to save their stuff. Trying to back it up and whatever. So I got tons of stuff on my PS3 that I've downloaded from the PlayStation Store that's not even available anymore.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just, what does it mean to own a game, I guess? It's kind of, I think that's probably what I'll use for my little write-up for this episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chris, how you been doing, man? What have you been playing?
Been getting back into more of the Metro, the second game.
Metro...
I think it's Last Light.
Metro Last Light, yeah. It was Metro 2023, I think, was the first one. And then Metro Last Light, and then there's whatever the third one is.
Yeah.
So
but yeah, I've been having a blast playing that one, and I don't know how far I am, but I'm getting pretty far in there, I believe. But then I found out not too long ago, I went by the game store in Prattville, Retro Game Planet, and a lady brought in her Super NES controller, which was a third party one, but her kids had broken it and pulled the wired connections out, and said, I might be able to fix it, just give it to me, and if I can, I'll bring it back, Tim, the store manager, could give it back to her. Well, in the whole process, I found out both my Super Nintendos have an issue with them. My old one from the original one, the sound effects are all screwed up and not playing right. And the other mini one in the living room plays audio just fine, but the video is wonky and it's got graphical glitches. And I'm thinking, well, what the heck?
Hmm.
I don't have a good working system. I can play anything on Super Nintendo right now. So I find a replacement or buy one or fit. I've got some capacitors for my old system. I think that's what it is. But, yeah, until I spend some more money or find another one, I'm out of luck for that system.
Yeah, there's also, you know, that opens up a good conversation about owning, you know, owning digital and physical type situations.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to run, I've tried to play some old NES games on my old system.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really work that well, but I know if I took those games, cleaned them up a little bit, and put them in a clean Nintendo system, mm-hmm. they'd likely run.
Yeah,
they seem to have run. I know that, but CDs are a different breed. CDs do deteriorate over time.
Yeah,
those discs that have our games on them will deteriorate over time. Kind of goes the same for hard disk drives. I mean, they've got a long life expectancy, but over time they will deteriorate.
Yeah.
But nothing you can't make a copy of and put on a different backup drive.
Yeah.
Can't necessarily do that on your physical CD media type stuff.
On some systems, yeah, unless but you got to mod the system and things like that because...
I understand that.
Dreamcast especially comes to mind right now with that.
Yeah. Conversation for another show, I would think, but...
That's a lot to get into, especially when you got only a couple minutes.
I know, a couple more minutes.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, we appreciate you calling, man.
All right, y'all have a good week.
You too.
Take care, now.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
We're wrapping it up here. I didn't get to a lot of stuff, actually, so I'm going to try and hit them real quick. Nope. System Shock 3 trailer. Nope. Steam is getting an overhaul. They're gonna change the layout of the Steam store and the way it looks and everything else. Mm. Sure, fine, whatever. PlayStation's going to hold a Nintendo Direct-like thing, announcement show beginning next week, actually. They're gonna do their own version of this, exactly the way that I think they're going. Like, Microsoft does the Inside Xbox show.
Yeah, everybody's doing their own thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't not having to go to E3 or whatever. They're just going to do their own
this
thing.
This is exactly the way I think it's going. And here it is. Here's another thing that everybody's copying Nintendo on.
Yeah.
They copied them with the Waggle stuff, and now they're going to copy them with the way they present their news. I like it, however, I enjoy this. It's fine by me. A once-a-month update from the companies themselves, mm-hmm. telling us, here's what's new, here's what's coming, that sort of thing. It's like you get a mini E3 every month
mm-hmm.
with your different companies. Sony, newsletter. Microsoft, and Nintendo. Like, here's your stuff.
It's like a newsletter.
Yeah, it really is.
There you go.
It's kind of nice. I really actually like it.
Mm-hmm.
What else? The situation where the guy was pulled from the game, he's going to be replaced in the Western release for
Judgment. Yeah.
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 Those were some of your quick hits.
Mm-hmm.
Epic Games announced that they're getting exclusives. All the Quantum, they're giving Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls, and Detroit Become Human exclusive to the Epic Game Store for at least a year on PC. They're finally releasing these on PC.
I'm still on console, so I'm...
They are also getting the Remedy game Control when it releases, I think, in August, which is a brand new game from them. And they're getting The Outer Worlds, which was originally going to be coming to Steam when it was announced back at E3 last year, but now it's exclusive to the Epic Games Store.
That Fortnite money, I'm telling you.
And this is getting a lot of people upset, and I'm like, no, you're fine. It doesn't matter.
No, the issue is that people just don't like the from what I'm gathering, they just don't like the Epic Games Store for whatever reason. They what was that company, Tencent?
Yeah,
China, the China thing, rumors about them selling your information.
There is that, yeah.
Getting into your root keys and things like that, people just have issues with the store itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, they say, we're not selling your information, but in this day and age, who believes that nowadays?
I know.
So, there's a lot of issues with the store itself.
Yeah. The Witness, by the way, is the next free game on the Epic Games Store. There's a lot more to be said about this whole exclusivity thing on the Epic Game Store versus on any of the other digital storefronts that are on your PC. And maybe we can get into those next week. We do not have enough time, so
Yeah, exactly, Delinquent. There's a lot more to discuss. I want to thank everybody for joining us in the chat room as well as on the radio. Thank you to everybody who grabs us each week. Thanks for our callers, Chris, Brock, Moltile. Thank you guys for calling in and talking to us. We do appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net. Join us on Twitter, Facebook, our YouTube channel. Subscribe to that. If you're watching us on Twitch, subscribe to that. If you're on Steam, join our Steam group. Find our Discord. We'll get you in there somehow. And have a fantastic week. We'll all be here. I think Sarah's coming in next week as well. So we'll all be back next week for you. This is music from a game called Deadly Tower of Monsters. It's the main theme here. We'll see you next Saturday.